You know, last week we began our Lenten series called The Walk, talking about worship and prayer, growing in the Word today. I don't know if you got the subtle signals in what we've been singing and talking about this morning, but for sure we're going to talk about how we encounter the Word and how we grow spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, intellectually, in all these ways. Now, I thought about this passage and this work a lot this week, and was reminded of a time when I was a young parent helping my kids learn to read. Here's an image of what that might be like. That might be an image of what that might be like. No, that's not the image. There it is. Yay! So that is not me, of course, or my wife. But boy, my kid was cuter than that. And no, absolutely, they were adorable. Now, we adopted our kids. My oldest came to us reading. He was 9 years old. He was a little kind of working through some things, but he was reading pretty well and grew up to be a nice, you know, good, solid reader. Loved to kind of sit down with certain books and just kind of plow through different series and the like. But the girls came to us as preschoolers, and we got to go on that journey of learning letters. You know, yeah, it was so cool. And you know, learning letters can be kind of fun until you have to put those letters together into words. And so when they were in kindergarten, that was the way they were doing that at that time. When they were in kindergarten, they started kind of like synthesizing those letters into words, and we started learning how to read. And thankfully, we had beautiful teachers that were helping them along the way, but they would send home these little packets. Maybe y'all remember kind of working through some of those little packets together, because, or maybe you have forgotten because of the pain. But there, you know, and honestly, I enjoyed this. I began my professional life as a psychologist. I worked inside the schools, and so I knew a lot about, you know, the kinds of neurological things that were going on, the physical structures that were in the process of changing. I could, you know, tell you the value of the phonetic learning and the sight reading and how those things are necessary together. I could tell you about the developmental nature of how that wiring kind of works, but also how disorders of that kind of come about, and you have ways to kind of work around that. I knew all that intellectually, but I never taught somebody how to read, you know. And so, well, actually, I'd been part of that, but I learned as a parent all the subtleties and all the tips and tricks of the trade of getting those two young women to read. And loved it, but I was discovering things. Even though I knew stuff, even though I could tell you things and could go on and on about it, I was learning new things as we were going along. And life, I know many of you know this. I would wager all of you know this. Life is a continual journey, a continual job, a continual struggle sometimes to figure stuff out. Amen? And I, in the process, was humbled, but also I discovered all kinds of things. And in the process of learning about life, I went from being 17 and knowing everything. Man, I knew everything. I was tearing it up at 17, 18. It got better, you know. And then suddenly, you know, in my 20s, I'm realizing that my mom and dad actually kind of had some good ideas about things. And then I hit 30, and then I hit parenthood, and then, whoa, I don't know nothing. I'm, you know, the parent of young adults now. I'm, you know, kind of enjoying the place of, well, actually, Dad, you had kind of a good idea about that, but not fully. So in this business of life, there are things to learn. In the business of being a person of faith, there is still that constant need to engage in this business of learning, in this business of growing, in this business of becoming more than where we started from. So people that think about this have divided up at least two different ways. There's probably more, but at least two different ways in which God does this kind of work of helping us to grow and to become. If we could go to the next slide, one of them is called, and by the way, there is no test. You don't have to write this down. But if you want to impress somebody later on, give them these two categories, okay? One of them is called general revelation. Revelation being, you know, here's who I am. Here is what the universe is. Revelation, not just the book at the end of the Bible, but, you know, kind of coming to an understanding. I had a revelation about Bill and how he likes finger puppets, right? Some of you got that joke. So if you didn't get that, then later on you'll have a revelation when someone explains to you what I just meant, right? All right, so there's the coming to an understanding about things. Now, there's general, which means things like when you hear people say, I most encounter God when I'm in nature, right? Or I'm in the woods, or I am, experiencing art or music. This is how I really kind of connect with God, is in this particular way. And that's fine, okay? There is nothing wrong with that because what do we say about God as creator, right? God is the creator and is capable of speaking to us in whatever ways that God chooses to speak. In fact, there are, you know, kind of those notions or nudges or, maybe insight, maybe your conscience kind of speaking to you. Well, all of those can be ways in which God's Spirit can kind of like get inside of us, stir us up, and kind of recognize that there's much more than what our limited mind might think. Have you ever stood in awe of something? Like the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon is a great example of that. I've seen like 1,000 pictures of the Grand Canyon before I actually saw the Grand Canyon, walked up to the rim. It took my breath away, you know, because of the spatial, just bizarreness of it all. It's just much more. And I had this sense of wonder and awe and how small I am. Standing by the ocean is sometimes the way people experience that. So that's called general revelation. And it's fine. Honestly, sometimes we might mistake things about it. We might not get the full picture about who God is or what God is about. But it is a way in which God can reveal God's self to us. So there's general revelation. Then there's this other kind, which is called special. Special revelation is those things that God says, I'm going to be a little bit more direct here. Let me break it down for you here. And there are three ways in which this happens. One is Jesus, right? Jesus, who comes as the manifestation of God in this world, right? We have this amazing person who is a fully human person, but is also the very Son of God, the very expression of God's love, is perfect in the ways in which he fully connects with the loving God of the creator of the universe. A beginning of a narrative about who he is in the Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word. Have you heard this? Anybody can probably, you know, go through this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, God, and the Word was with God, right? And it's been some time. If you haven't read this, if you haven't looked at this, go back and look at it again. It's right at the beginning of the Gospel of John, and it says, from the very beginning, Jesus was there. And from the very beginning was the expression, the Word, right? The expression of God, which turns out to be Jesus. So if we're looking for what God is, and we're looking for what God is inviting us to be and do, we should eyeball that man. Not the, you know, the things people make up about him, or the things people will borrow him for, but the actual things that we see. Now, we see those things where? Where do we hear the stories of Jesus? Come on. From the Bible, there's a particular portion of the Bible called the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Four books that tell the story of Jesus' ministry. But then, if you look at it and you move forward, all those things in the New Testament are built upon that. And the things that come in the Old Testament kind of lead up to that even. Now, it's hard because the Bible is a very complicated book, and it is rooted in context. All right, so it was written a long time ago by people who literally spoke and thought in different ways than what we do in 21st century America, all right? Really spoke and thought in the ways that wherever you come from, whatever particular way that you were formed culturally, linguistically. So we have to honor the context, and we also have to honor that, you know, there's a reality in there that sometimes different portions of the Bible point in different ways. So the Bible might say, that's cool in one section, and say, that's horrible in a slightly different section. If you want to know more about that, I could spend time with you on that. But it also, and this is what we Methodists say. All right, so if you're a good Methodist in this room, or even if you're a bad Methodist in this room, this is what you say, okay? That we believe that everything that is needed to understand our salvation is contained in the Scriptures. Everything that we need to know about being in a saved relationship with God through Jesus Christ is right there inside of the Scriptures. I brought my Bible with me. Even in spite of all the other things that can get us confused or point in different directions. There are parts of the Bible that offer specific things about how we should live. I'm not going to follow those. Okay. One is that there's instruction about cooking your meals over cow dung. Not inviting you to a barbecue at my house with that. We've been talking here recently about the whole idea of the dietary laws and how, you know, shrimp wrapped in bacon is off the menu, right? And some of you looked appalled when I said that, but that's right here, okay? So we have to do the work. We cannot just simply look at particular scriptures, particular verses, and go, oh, well, there's where it says it, right there, and not consider what else is going on there. John Wesley said that there was a red thread that ran through these scriptures, and that thread was the love of God. So we start there. And there is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit gets really kind of, not necessarily a great reputation, because we haven't seen necessarily the Holy Spirit in bodily form. I mean, we have a tower. I don't know if you noticed our tower or not, but we have a tower right outside with on the side of it these reliefs, these motifs that are of birds, right? Because we really like birds at Sterling. Well, I think we like birds at Sterling, but those are images of God's Spirit. The Spirit, like a dove that comes down on Jesus at his baptism. The Spirit that sweeps through the room at the book of Acts beginning, that moves through things, causes people to enter into a different way of relating to each other. Right. Those three things, the very person of Jesus, the scriptures that reveal God, and the work of the Holy Spirit, which is, by the way, still at work. That work of the Holy Spirit is constantly saying, this is who God is, and this is what is about. We have an idea that God even gets out in front of us, that is inviting us to a relationship all throughout our life, even before we're fully even aware of it, even before we fully even know that we're messed up and we need salvation, that we're in need of reconciliation, that we're in need of healing. So those three things, Jesus, the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit are constantly in the churn of inviting you to this, which is the Lord looking at you and saying, I love you. The scriptures say God is love. Have you heard this? That the Lord God Almighty looking at you going, you're my girl. You're my girl. You're my boy. Even Bill. Thank you for playing along. I appreciate it. These things are given to us as gifts. Because, honestly, if I were left to my own devices, I would have my thin little piece of the pie that wouldn't really taste very good. And I wouldn't see fully. And I wouldn't be open to grow. These things are given to us as a gift. And it is part of our work. Engaging in these things is part of our work of following Jesus, of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. So here's some next steps for us. Oh, forgot to tell you this. The other thing that I want to invite you to consider when you're thinking about all this is that you don't neglect one part that you really like for a part that you're not really sure about. This is a great image. It appeared this week by an artist called Scott the Painter, Scott Erickson. And there's a nice write-up about that. You can find it on Instagram. But for me, it was like, there are parts of me that are perfectly comfortable having an intellectual argument about something. Maybe you're like this. I could talk about something all day long, but don't ask me to feel something. That stuff I'm not comfortable with. Or some people are the reverse. Some people are like, I'm not really sure about what all that means, but I'm all about the feels. Okay. The important thing here is that you are looking after both your intellect, your mind, and your heart at the same time as you are doing this work. Because there may be parts of you that can walk up to Scripture and go, ha, That's the stuff. I've got that figured out. But it pushes completely against what you know hurts. And it's hurtful to other people. So honor both those sides. Now, here's some other next steps for us. I want to invite you, if you haven't already, to find a good Bible that you can read. All right. I have a Bible that my uncle gave me a long, long time ago. It was really cool because it had a zipper that ran down the side of it. Do you remember those? Some of y'all? Nice leather thing. And it had the zipper down the side of it. And I thought, oh, man, that must be what cowboys use so they don't get dust in their pages, you know? So I had this really cool cowboy Bible. And I love that Bible. And I still have that Bible. But it was also in a translation that I, to this day, still struggle with, right? Just really had an awful time making sense of that. Now, that's okay, because translations come and go, and they help us in a particular part in time. There was all kinds of, like, really ugly things that happened in creating the King James Version of the Bible. It wasn't just like it suddenly dropped out of a couple of scholars and everybody was happy. There were people that were killed over that. Okay? So find a translation of the Bible. We use the Common English Bible for what we do here at church. I make no money out of this whatsoever, but the Common English Study Bible is my study Bible, and this is what I use. But you might find that there's another translation that works for you. Find something that you can actually read. And then spend a few weeks reading the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest book. It has 16 verses, 16 chapters. Where is it? I wrote it down. You can see my intellect kicking out here. I was right. 16 chapters in the Gospel of Mark. You can also go to Bible.com and find it online. You can find a variety of different translations. You can try them out online and spend time reading the Gospel of Mark or finding some sort of reading plan that is already prepared for you right there. It takes very little time and can open up a lot of reflection and a lot of doors. And if you haven't already, join a small group. Now, there's some sort of wild and woolly Bible study that happens here on Wednesday nights. I've heard about this group. I sat with them a few times, and they're having honest conversation about things. So if you have, or there are other groups that are meeting here for Bible study, and if you can't find one that's going to work, then form one. You can join me on Tuesday nights. We'll have kind of an experimental time. It's called You Are Here with Pastor Bert. You know, sorry, you're stuck with me at Pastor Bert. But join me on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Whatever, wherever, find some ways to jump into the pool. Because the water actually is baptismal and wonderful. So I invite you to all this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.